Well, hey there, Vanya.
Hi, Mike.
Let's see if I can take one headphone out and if it still works.
Hello.
I think we're still working. We're still there.
Yay.
It's weird with these. I don't know. I have mixed feelings on we've talked about my wireless headphones in the past where I'm like,
yes.
You know, Ariana Grande doesn't use wireless headphones. And I think that she has a good point.
And why not? Just the sound doesn't.
She didn't really say why in the thing that I was watching, but I was like, yeah, I get it. Like the wireless ones can be kind of annoying sometimes.
Yeah, it's true.
In certain situations. There is a possibility that I will have to pause this recording because I will tell this first story.
Great.
I have many stories to tell. I'm not sure how you're...
I'm so excited.
We did not record last week. I will let Vanya decide if she wants to tell you why we didn't record last week.
I will, eventually.
Okay. Yeah. But we have like 2 weeks of stuff to cover. And one of them is there was like a full day in my kitchen where I was like, am I just being incredibly messy? Like, what am I doing that the floor keeps getting wet? And I don't know if you remember this, like once upon a time when my wet floors were causing me to be electrocuted by my sink. Like,
oh.
I'm starting to like get the flashback of like, what is happening? Like, but it didn't feel like the same thing. Like, I'm not noticing anything coming from the fridge area.
God.
I don't know why it took me like a full day to just like open my cabinet. The pipe to the sink was just not connected. Like,
oh, shit.
The water... Yeah, legitimately water was just rushing through, clearly, like, through the floor. So oh now I'm like, oh, I'm probably flooding the person below me.
Oh,
so I, like, literally sent a text immediately of, like, massive flooding in the kitchen. And to their credit, like, he showed up right away. Like, they got it fixed that day. There's just, like, residual water. Like, I feel like it's never fully dried, which is kind of frustrating. And then they're also supposed to show up today because there's so much damage under the sink.
Oh, no.
So they have to, like, come in and, like, I don't know if they're going to tear it out or just, like, board or, like, something. Anyways, so that might be happening today at some point.
Well,
of course, you know how quickly these things do
we'll
and don't happen
sometimes.
We'll get through
as much as we
can. Right. So anyways, that's a fun thing that happened with me. How about you? How your couple of weeks been?
Well, the reason we didn't record last week is because I... completely was brain dead, actually. I was preparing. So I had on Tuesday, which is when we normally record, I was going in for my first colonoscopy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. But the prep, I hadn't eaten for 48 hours because of the way the timing worked out, which was crazy because I don't think I've ever done that before in my, I don't know. I've never not eaten. I'm very good at making sure I get my meals. I also kind of get like loopy if I don't eat, you know, like my brain doesn't work properly.
Right.
But it's this thing where, I mean, if anyone out there has had it, and if not, it's nothing to be afraid of. It's, you should do it. But it's, the prep is like you the day before, 2-3 days before, you have to eat like a low fiber meal. And then the day before it's just like liquids. And then you're supposed to then do these, you drink this like weird solution that essentially just makes you, for the next 2 hours, you have to basically be sitting on the toilet. You can't go. I didn't understand. And it's not like, it wasn't painful. You know, it wasn't like real diarrhea where your stomach like cramps and stuff like that. It was literally just like a hose out your asshole. And
wow.
It was like crazy. It was just crazy. You're just like, how is this still happening? But yeah, so you do that. And then I woke up the next day. This is the day of the actual procedure and had to do another round. Like, it's 4 liters you have to drink of this stuff. And I'm very lucky because, well, my husband's out of town. I was out of town. He was in another land. And then, but my parents came. Thank goodness. I mean, I would have rescheduled because I couldn't leave. I couldn't take them to school. I couldn't do anything. But yeah, that's where I was. Everything seemed fine. Went fine. It's like, it's so weird. You get there and then you get like... naked. I'm like, why do I have to be naked for this? That's so stupid. Don't you just need my butthole? Well, come on. But yeah, so you sit there and you're waiting in like this weird room that's like partitioned with like, you know, curtains. And there's probably like 10 people in there waiting to have some sort of procedure done. And there was this guy like hacking up a lung. It was so disgusting. Thought I was going to barf. And then I got to listen to all the nurses talk shit. I'm like, people, we can hear you. And yeah. And then I went in and did it. They put you under. It's really weird. You know, I don't know if you've gone under for anesthesia in a while, but like, it's like cold where they put the little thingy in and then all of a sudden you're out. It was fine. And then I guess, you know, I guess I did have a polyp, a tiny one. He said he removed it. Now you really know about me deep down inside. But, and then they're going to let me know if it's like anything wrong, but they're popular. They're common is what I mean.
Right.
So I didn't feel too worried about it. I don't know, but yeah, that's, and then if it was, I don't know. I don't think I have to have another one of these for another 10 years, which is great.
Ah, oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely getting that age that I should be doing that. I am, you know, amongst the nation's uninsured. So I'm kind of in that spot of like, I just hope nothing's going wrong. But yeah, I probably should get things checked out fairly soon.
Yeah, you should. It's, you know, it's worth the peace of mind. And then you could go from there. And then otherwise, you know, it was just a crazy week of I'm helping direct one of the musicals at the local elementary school. And I got to, after the next day, because you can't eat, you can't go crazy because you're starving afterwards. If you go nuts, you're going to hurt yourself. So I just had a really beautiful omelet and some bread. But then the next day on Wednesday, I was like, I'm going to eat this whole world. And so we went down to my parents love this place in Glendale, and we ate our faces off and saw some distant cousins, which was kind of cool. And what else? School's almost out. Amelia had her last week of volleyball. Memorial Day weekend happened. She was supposed to have a tournament, but we opted to not do it because they added it last minute. And it was like a lot of money to add on. Like that weekend, it would have cost us like $1,000. And I'm like, I just don't want to. And I feel bad because she felt bad because she didn't get to go with her team. And I'm the only adult that was like, no, I'm not doing this. Because if they had it at the beginning of the year, then fine. But like, you know.
What does that mean? It got added last minute.
They added a tournament. So there's a big tournament on the Memorial Day weekend. And a parent had asked about a month ago, are we doing this tournament? It wasn't on our schedule. And then everybody voted to do it except for me. And I think I might have been a little stubborn too. Because I'm like, I think that's, I don't know. I was a little bit stubborn about it because I don't know. I'm a brat sometimes. I'm just like, this is stupid. But apparently it was really fun and all the girls had a blast and Amelia's going to never hear the end of it and I feel bad. And I guess LeBron James was there. His daughter must play volleyball. Huh. Yeah. So I felt I have guilt about that. And then I was like, well, maybe I'll get her a puppy, which is a bad idea. So I've had this like weird thing lately where I'm like, I think we should get a puppy. But I probably shouldn't get a puppy. But like I've been obsessed with, like I need to actually stop with the obsession. And then I got to sing karaoke and you called me while I was at a barbecue this weekend and it was the best. Annabelle and Mike called me from, I'll let you tell the story, but I like literally cried. It was my favorite song and I love you so much.
It was very fun. Yeah, I've gotten to see some cool stuff. You know, we never talked about that I saw Death Becomes Her.
How was it?
So, listen, it was very enjoyable. It's a really, really fun show. There are some storytelling things that I think are strange. And
it's a weird story, too.
Sure. And they've taken, you know, it's very smart that they didn't just, like, take the movie and, like, put... You can't do that. Like, you can't just take that film and put it on stage. So they've, like, added things and they've sort of like minimalized other things and they take the story in different directions. The main takeaway for me, like I don't know who will ever play these roles other than Jen Samard and Megan Hilty. They
really
are so fun. Like what they do on stage is so specific and so fucking hilarious.
I love it.
I just cannot imagine anyone else doing these roles. Like they're so good. So it was really, really fun. I had a really good time with that. I also got to see Good Night and Good Luck, which they're doing on Broadway now with George Clooney, who like wrote and directed the film from many years ago. Yeah. So they're doing a Broadway production of it. Now, here's what I will say. Like the story is so interesting and it's one of those unfortunate things that's like always timely because we're always living in the midst of some kind of government malarkey and they do a very good job of making it relevant without really changing anything. You should just see the movie. Like the movie is so good and they're going to actually broadcast the Broadway version live on CNN the night before the Tonys. So it's like June 7th or something like that. It's like a Saturday night, I want to say. So like record it or like do whatever you have to do to watch, because it's worth seeing. And George Clooney is a movie star. Like he's very good on stage, but it's sort of, and this isn't new, but so many shows this year are using screens or like using like camera and like showing you what's happening on a big screen. And there's a lot of that in this production. And that is where he shines. Like, he does have the ability to like slightly raise one eyebrow and convey a thousand emotions. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so in those moments are really when it shines. So I do suggest watching the movie slash, you know, watching this broadcast that's going to happen. Like, it's definitely a story always worth telling and always worth seeing. And I'm really grateful that I got to go. It's at the Winter Garden, which is where Back to the Future just was. So thank you, Annabelle, because like Annabelle knows that the box office will be able to get us basically their version of Rush's standing room. And it's 90 minutes. Like, I can stand for 90 minutes. That's totally fine. Yeah. So very grateful that I got to see that. And then, you know, whatever. I did see the new Mission Impossible, and it's ridiculous, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's totally silly. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself. You know, it's that thing where, like, if you've enjoyed the Mission Impossible films up until now, you will enjoy this one. Like, it is a culmination. It's funny because I was listening to some stuff about it, how they really lean into, like, he never abandons his team. But, like, the team has only been his team for, like, the last three or four movies. Like, they haven't been the same team from the very beginning, other than I think Ving Rhames has always been around. And the another comment that was made that I thought was really, really funny. And I've enjoyed every actress that has embodied this, so I don't treat them as, like, one or the other. But they did refer to, like, whatever current actress Tom Cruise feels comfortable sharing the spotlight with. Because they have kind of, like, cycled through, you know?
Yeah.
Which that was funny. And I don't know how accurate that is, but it made me chuckle.
It feels right to me.
Yeah. And there's something very, like, messianic about it. Like, only Tom, only he. He's the only one, you know, where I'm like, well, you could probably someone else could help too. I don't know. So it's very silly and it's very over the top, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the experience of seeing it. I thought that it was fun. But yeah, the thing that I got to do this last weekend that was really amazing is that I got to see Beyonce in concert. I got to go see the Cowboy Carter tour. It was at the MetLife stadium in New Jersey in the Meadowlands, and the only other time that I've been to this location was when I got to see Taylor Swift. I got to see the Reputation tour because Dana had gotten us really, really amazing seats, and it rained the entire time. Like, it was like culminating in a monsoon to the extent of which, like, she had hired a car. Like, we had a car that drove us there and was supposed to pick us up, and we were never able to find the car. And it was such a madhouse that we literally, like, stood in the monsoon for like 30 minutes until basically she had to, like, bribe another driver to drive us into Manhattan. Will say that, like, it's a complicated experience getting there and back. And I just would prefer that artists please just come to Manhattan. Like, just come to my island. Like, we want to see you. We're here. It's also funny that, like, her Beyonce took the stage and was like, hello, New York City. And I'm like, yeah, it's mostly New York City. Thank you for acknowledging that we came all this way out here. And then she also said, hello, New Jersey. But
that's funny.
But you know what? I can complain about it. And it was a little bit of a drama getting there and a tiny bit of drama getting back. But in the end, like, they know what they're doing. Like, we had seats both ways. It literally, like, from Beyonce saying goodnight to me getting to my apartment was 90 minutes. So that's like, not a bad traveling time, even with, like, certain things that went wrong. The show is really, really incredible. Like, it's for my money. And granted, here's the other thing. Like, Madonna's just my artist. Like, Madonna is the person that, like, changed my life and, like, who I first saw doing a tour. You know, like, to me, no one does it as smoothly and as sort of, like, effortlessly as Madonna does. But this show is amazing. I mean, like, what Beyonce is on stage doing. And here's the other thing that I will say, and I know that it's kind of dumb to say it. Her voice is legitimately otherworldly.
I know, she's an angel.
It's crazy. And for any of the divas, like, when she's not singing, she's not singing. Like, you see other people, and this is not shade towards anyone else, but usually, like, someone is singing along with them or there's a track happening along with them.
Yes.
When Beyonce takes the mic away from her face, she's not singing anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so real. Like, it's so real, and it's her. And she's dancing, and she's moving, and she's singing the entire time. And there are certain runs that she does live that I'm like, that is harder than what you do on the album. Like, like, it's a step up from what, I mean, yeah, it was a remarkable experience. It was 3 hours long. Like, she just... like she goes on at like 8:07 and she was over at 11, and it was a really magical experience. And yeah, so when Bodyguard came on, Annabelle was like, Fonda loves this song. That's when she called you up and put you on screen. And I didn't, could you like hear what was happening? I could hear
the music, yeah.
Oh, you could. Okay, good. Because my only issue that night was that it was so loud that like I almost couldn't hear what was happening. Like if I didn't know the song, I couldn't really understand the lyrics.
That's weird. Yeah.
But I recorded some of it on my phone. Like I sent you that clip that the sound is great on my phone. I'm like, it almost sounds better on my phone than it did live.
Interesting.
Yeah. But it was super fun. It was a really amazing night. We had a very good time. Yeah.
She's just magic. I love her so much. I don't know. Some people are like, I don't know what the big deal is. I'm like, what? It's fine. We can all have different opinions. Right. I'm okay with that.
And what really gets me is that like, and I've said this, you know, Annabelle's heard me say this a couple of times. It's really glorious to behold someone who is clearly doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
Ooh, that's good.
Like, it's so clearly like, this is where they're supposed to be. She also, like, her gratitude feels so incredible to me.
Yeah.
Like, she just felt unendingly, like, thank you. Like, thank you to the crowd for what you're giving me. And it was just that wild thing of, like, wow, what a beautiful thing to be a part of, and what a beautiful energy to be a part of. Yeah.
Yeah, what a beautiful exchange of energy. Yeah. Oof.
So I hope that they, you know, they did a film version of Renaissance and you can't find it anywhere. Like they released it in theaters, and I hope that it would eventually find a streaming service somewhere, and it hasn't ever. And I just looked it up recently and like, it's not available anywhere. I hope that they release that because I'd like to see it, but I hope they do something like that for this one as well. I will say the choreography of the camera work, because you know, almost the entire thing is being then also broadcast onto big screens behind her. Like just that was so beautiful to look at. I was like, the choreography of the camera work and where she is on stage was so incredibly well done that I was like, you could release that and it would be an incredible thing to watch.
Yeah.
So here's hoping that people get a chance to see it that didn't get to go live. Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know, I could easily have that be my dig in, and it really probably is, but there is something else that I want to talk about. I don't know. Is there anything that you're digging these days? Have you had a chance to?
The only thing, it's very tiny. We went and got some barbecue out in the country here. Well, there's like, anyways, we drove down this road far away, and it was like a barbecue place where it was actually amazing. Such delicious food. But they had a band playing. It was just a two-person band, a woman on the violin and a guy on the guitar, and they both sang. And she sang a version of Angel in Montgomery.
Okay.
Do you know that song?
I'm sure that I would know it if I heard it.
Oh my God. So Bonnie Raitt made it famous.
Make me an angel that flies.
It's written by another person, but just listen to that song. I am digging that song. There's something about it. I can't stop listening to it. I love it. That's what I'm digging. And I'm really good barbecue.
Oh God, I love good barbecue.
Oh, it was ridiculous, Mike. And you know how I don't like any, like, I don't like fat pieces. It grosses me out. I totally ate some.
Yeah.
Because it was good. It was cooked correctly, for 14 hours.
Right. When it's like certain like briskets that are cooked just the right way, like I will eat that fat. Like that fat is
crazy.
Delicious.
It was so, it melted like butter. It was amazing. Yeah. So that's my digging. It's very simple, but it's the highlight, I think, for me.
I love it.
Minus the colonoscopy. This definitely had to be something to do with eating was my highlight.
Was that where you went to eat on the Wednesday, or was that a different day altogether?
No, that was a different day. The Wednesday one was fine. It was a Middle Eastern food. And I've had enough of that. My parents really love Armenian Lebanese food, which get it. I get it. They don't get that where they come from. I'm fine not having that. And then the last day before my parents left, I was like, where do you guys want to go? Like, my dad's like, anywhere but Mexican food. I'm like,
That's the best.
Because that's all I want. You right, know, absolutely. I just want to eat Mexican food every day. And now barbecue. Anyway,
I agree.
How about you? What are you digging?
So what I want to talk about is, I don't know if you've ever watched any of this. Well, first of all, I do want to say that Big Mouth is back. Like, I did watch the first episode. Yeah. It's the final season. Yet. It's very funny. Like, they're like 15 now. So some of the storylines, I'm like, oh, look, am I, should I turn this off? Like, am I under arrest? What's happening? But it's very funny. And so I'm glad that they're back. And I'm glad they're getting to, like, do, you know, I love a final season. I love it when it's announced ahead of time. Like, we're all on board. We know this is the last one. Yeah. So what I want to talk about is the second season of a drama series that is coming back for sure for a third season. And I'm very curious. Did you watch any of The Last of Us?
Oh, yeah. I watched the first season. Yeah, you did. We did. Okay. I haven't started the second season, but yes, I watched the first season. I liked it.
So, you know, it's based on a video game that I don't play any of those. I know friends who have played it. And so, like, they kind of knew where certain things were coming. My understanding is they're being fairly faithful, but obviously, like, doing their own adaptation as they go along as well. I was listening. I'm going to do the cons first, because I was listening to something that was talking about some of the things that they weren't wild about. And that is, like, the first season, the theme of the first season is hope. Like, the whole idea is that, like, they're traveling because there's this hope. There's this thing that they think they can get to.
Right.
There, it's not a spoiler to tell you that the theme of the second season is vengeance. Ooh. Which is harder to watch for many episodes. It is a little bit harder to, like, I'm just going to go along with this not very pleasant ride.
Right.
And there are things that happen. There's a thing that happens fairly early on that if you know the game, it's not a surprise to you. I didn't know the game, so I didn't believe it was happening. The thing that, like, I honestly, like, it almost didn't have the impact on me that I think they wanted it to have, because I was watching going, like,
no, this is not right.
100%. I was like, this isn't real. Like, there's some trick they're playing on me.
Yeah.
And the way that it reverberates then later on in the season. So I think that even the guy who writes it, and he does the screenwriting podcast that I really enjoy listening to, and I think that they've made the point that the best storytelling should feel both surprising and inevitable.
Yeah, okay.
And I think about certain things, like, I think about the first time that I saw the film Sliding Doors. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, not in a long time, but yes.
But I remember watching that in the movie theater and at some point thinking, there's no way to end this without pissing me off. Like, there's no satisfying way to bring this story to a close. And then getting to the end and being like, unless you're way smarter than I am, and then that's what happens. Like, the ending of that film is both so surprising to me, but the only way it could have ended. There are moments in this season, I'm going to specifically say there are moments in the sixth episode of this season, many moments, one in particular that I was like, fuck you, of course. Like, how did I not see that coming? Of course that's where this was going. But it was so surprising. Anyways, I guess it's just sort of my shout out to what I think this season, because I think this has been he has said in other interviews, this season has been much harder to adapt because of the nature of the story. Like, it is just a harder story to flesh out and put on screen. And I understand people's rumblings, and the end gets to a place where you either are going to go with it or you're not, which I would say the same about the first season, that ending of that first season, you either are going to have to get on board or it's just not going to be the story that you want to watch. And the second season, it does a similar thing where, like, you're either going to be on board or you're not. And for me, I guess this is just my shout out to the storytelling of the second season for taking what I understand is a really difficult story and a not terribly pleasant story and telling it in kind of a genius way. Like, I just think that, like, the way that they structure it and the way they tell the story, this is my kudos to the people behind the scenes at The Last of Us, because I think that what they did was pretty spectacular.
Okay, so I guess I'll have to get in there and watch this.
Yeah, watch it at some point. I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on it, because I don't think there's a right or a wrong opinion. Like I said, I was listening to a thing and she was very upset by it and very much like, I won't say more because I don't want to give anything away. But she was like, this wasn't what I signed up to watch. And I'm like, I get it. I totally get it. If that's how you feel about it. I for me, once again, I just thought that the deftness of the storytelling was so remarkable that that's why I went along with it. That I was like, all right, I'm here. I will. This is the story you want to tell me. I'm here to watch it. And I'm here for season 3. And I'm very excited for it.
Okay. So, well, hopefully the theme is, you know, I don't
at
know,
some
something
point,
besides
right,
vengeance.
They have to
go back
have
to hope. I don't know.
Something, yeah.
Make it a comedy. you know, right. End with the make wedding. Slapstick.
Right. End with the wedding. That's what Shakespeare does, right?
Yep.
So there you go. That's kind of all that I have. My do without is very, very silly. And it's just that so I'm sort of constantly in search of a game to play on my phone for my commutes home. Because my commute to work, I tend to read. Like, I'm reading The Scarlet Letter right now, which, that's a crazy book. I don't know.
Like, yeah.
Maybe this is why kids don't like reading. Yeah. But I'm getting through it. I'm gonna keep going. But on my journey home, I don't want to read. Like, I don't want to think too much. So I've kind of gone through different games, and nothing has really been satisfying to me. And I sort of settled on, I was like, you know what requires just enough brain but not too much is solitaire. So I downloaded this solitaire game, and it kept being like, this version isn't up to date anymore, you have to update to the other thing. And I did it like 3 or 4 times before I realized it was an ad. It was just an that was getting me to go to another version of Solitaire.
Oh, that's some bullshit.
So that's what I could do without. How dare you? I suppose how dare me for being so dumb. But like, I was really aggravated. I was like, that's rude. Anyway, there you go. That's what I could do without. How about you? Anything you could do without this week?
Yeah, well, okay, so when my husband was gone, the day he was getting back, he flew back from Australia in a Saturday afternoon or whatever. But that morning, I like to get the kids up, and it's kind of fun because sometimes when you're just alone with kids, I could be like they have to do what I say. You know, I don't have to negotiate with Adam or anything. It's just like what I say. So we had breakfast, and then we went on a bike ride, and we did 8.5 miles.
Wow.
And yeah, you would have loved it. So we went all the way almost to, like, you know where the Home Goods is and like the Red Robin is in our town?
Yeah, yeah.
That's far, but there's back cute little trails to take. And the kids were like, we're hungry. Is that I said, okay, great. Let's go. We're going to find, there's this brewery that has, I know they have bike locks or bike whatever. So we're going there, and all of a sudden, Calvin, my son, stops, 7-year-old, bloody nose everywhere. Just... Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to gross you out because I know it was very upsetting. I didn't have even a tissue on me. I had my fanny pack and my phone, and pretty much that was it. Like, I was like, I knew that the brewery would take like Apple Pay. So I was like, we could go to there and nowhere else. But yeah, so I'm like, I don't know what to do. I did have water. So he had some sort of a scarf that he was wearing for his biking moment. And so we took the scarf, we wetted it, but we had to like, it was so gross and it wouldn't stop. So finally stops. Now we're back on the road. We're going, I'm behind him. He's in the middle. My daughter's in the front. And then I don't know, I wasn't paying attention or following too close, but he like fell. And so I had to like slam on my brakes. And I have a shitty bike, okay? I bought a bike for $50. The brakes broke. So my left brake, I think the left hand is the front wheel and the back brake is the right. The back brake broke just completely off. So I literally almost ran over him. He fell. So I could do without shitty bikes. I need to get a new bike. And actually, so then after we had our lunch and everything, and it was cute and fun, and we actually got to the restaurant 30 minutes before they opened. So we did lip sync battles, you know, like it was pretty hilarious. Because, you know, like the drag race. And then, but then when we're finally, so we had 3.5 miles to get back home. And my poor kid, Calvin, he didn't have a bike that has gears. So he's like crying. He's like, my legs are hurting. They hurt so bad. I'm like, this, buddy. You could do it. You could do it. You could do it. And anyways, yesterday I got him a used bike on Facebook Marketplace, but it's really nice and it has gears and he's very excited. So this is a happy and a sad thing. But
you know,
it was also really scary because I was like, I could have killed him because we weren't going slow.
Right. And it was just like a spontaneous nosebleed.
Yeah. It's pretty dry here. It was windy.
Sure.
It was a really beautiful day. It was nice and, like, we started at, like, 9 o'clock, and then by 11:30, you know, we went around 8.5 miles. Both Amelia and my son were, like, the next day, they're like, my legs are so sore. But I loved it. I love riding bikes. Mike and I have ridden bikes before together on vacation.
Yeah, I really want to ride when I come to see you.
Oh my God, we will. Absolutely. Yeah. I'll have a new bike by then. I'm going to still get a used one because I can't spend $1,000 on a bike. It just mentally hurts me. But when you look on like Facebook Marketplace, people are always like, I rode it 3 times. Someone buy this bike for me.
Always okay, someone trying to get rid of something. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
And then how about random? Do you have anything random for us this week? That was a lot of story, though. That can be your random thing.
I know. Really, that was it. My random.
My random thing is that I have joined a cult. I'm just kidding. But whenever I say this, it feels like I've started drinking apple cider vinegar.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So I like put like a tablespoon or so in a glass of water and then like I chug it as quickly as possible because it's disgusting.
Okay.
But yeah. Listen, it has almost entirely gotten rid of my acid reflux.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Like if I don't do it for a couple nights in a row, I feel it's coming back and I'm like, oh, I forgot to whatever. But like when
do
I keep up on
night?
It. I do it at night. I tend to do it like before I consume my last meal of the day.
Cool.
So like as I'm making dinner or whatever, like as I'm making whatever I'm going to have as my last meal, which like I'm up late. So usually it's around like 10 o'clock at night or so. That's when I'll have it and then I'll eat. And then yeah. But it's really helped. So
cool.
There you go.
I used to do that and, you know, don't anymore, but maybe I'll start again.
Listen, it's really gross. And, you know, people argue what the health benefits really are. And I don't know. And, you know, and there's always a possibility that I'm just covering up something that I probably maybe shouldn't be covering up. Who knows? But for right now, I'm enjoying not having acid reflux. So I'm going good. With it. And awesome. Then I guess the other random thing is we've kind of hinted at this, you know, just like that starts in 2 days or the day this comes out will be the first episode of the third season. I'm very excited to see it, but it also means that I'm going to be very hard at work on my other podcast.
Yes.
So we'll be off for the summer and that's good because you'll be able to, you know, hang out with the kids more and I'll be taking care of this and you're going to hopefully come see me at some point.
Yes,
and
yes, yes.
So we'll be off for the summer, but we'll be back at the end of the summer to kind of tell you how everything went. And this is sort of us hoping everyone has a great few months and enjoy your summer and spend time with friends. And remember that that's important to get out of your apartment and see people and be part of a community. That's an important lesson that we have to keep relearning, I think.
I agree, especially when things are scary out there. I agree.
Yeah.
I love you, Mike Jensen.
I love you so much. I love you, and I hope to see you very soon.
I have too. We will.
Right, thank you all for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursdays, so make sure you subscribe if you want to be a part of the journey. You can follow us on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and me at Mike Jensen 77. You can also listen to my other podcast, We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, with Elise Castle, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back.